Okay, right, so let's just get the Psak stuff down. This was on the last week's sheet, which is 14 to the end. Shulchan Aruch tells us as follows: Hamavashel b'Shabbos osa achas mishar malachos zemezid aser lo la'olam ulachirim mutter l'motzoi Shabbos miyad. So if you cook, if a Jew cooks on Shabbos or performs any other malacha, if it's intentional, so then it's forbidden for him forever, and for others, it's permitted on Motzei Shabbos immediately. If it's shogeg, so that day it's still aser for everybody. And after Shabbos, it's mutter. And that's the position Shulchan Aruch Paskin, as I mentioned, like Rabbi Yehuda. However, as I mentioned, the Gra Paskins, like the Paskins like Balei Tosfos, who Paskin like Rabbi Meir, and are more Mekel. Mishnah Brura in 15 says, Achim Shar Malachos, Imum Lachim Derabbanon, I'm a Ber Agra, Sheikh Lachich, Kulam, Lasa Osa Beshogig, Ein Lasser Bediavad, Lehanos Mimena. The Gra argues that all of this is only true by biblical Malachos, but by rabbinic Malachos, everyone would agree that you don't forbid it till Motzei Shabbos. And then he says in Hey, Mutter Motzei Shabbos V'yad, V'afilu L'mi Shemizbash Nisbashel Mishvilo, D'lo B'inan L'ham T'megdesha Yasu, Elba M'locha Nasa Yidei Eino Yehudi Bishvil Yisrael Mishum D'kal B'inav Isra L'amira D'lo V'gilulim. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that we paskin like Tosfos against Rashi, that when it comes to the malacha that a Jew does, we don't have the limitation of b'kudei she'asu, because it's only by mir l'nachri, it's only by non-Jews where we're more apt to tell them to do malacha, we're less likely to do it ourselves, so we don't have to be gozer. So Shulchan Aruch, like I said, takes the more machmir position between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir in terms of when is something forbidden when a Jew cooks it, but when we talk about the Motzei Shabbos component of it, he is more makil and takes the position that we don't have to wait b'chdei she'yasu.
And that's shogeg or mezid.
Well, again, the shogeg mezid depends on the Remeir of Yud distinction, but whatever way you hold, he says, when every time we say Motzei Shabbos, we mean Motzei Shabbos immediately.
Right.
Bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid. Yeah, right. I mean, those are two separate machlokot, right? We have one is, right, on Shabbos, Motzei Shabbos, forever, aser. Yeah. The second one is when we say Motzei Shabbos, exactly. So that's, okay, so that's the Mishnah Berurah. And here we can, and then later on he notes that this is only by, and this is something we already mentioned, that Beis Yosef talked about, that this is only by someone who violates malacha, but the halachot are a bit different for a bari, who cooks for a chole, right? If someone is healthy, six for a chole, so that's a bit different. Then there's no prohibition after Yom Tov or Shabbos, after Shabbos, Yom Tov's no problem at all. After Shabbos, according to anybody, on Shabbos, there is a potential issue, as we've seen, possibly based on Muktzah. Okay. Hey, Sam.
Standing room only.
Thank you. Okay. So that is 15. So let's just skip to 16. In Tavkuf Tezvav, Shulchan Aruch discusses this in Yom Tov. Eino Yehudi Shehevi Doron Li Yisrael Bi Yom Tov Im Yesh Bimino Bimuchubar. You know what? Okay, let's just read through it, then we're going to have to come back to some of the points. But if a non-Jew brings a present to a Jew on Yom Tov, so if it's attached to the ground, if there's still some of that attached to the ground, or it is not hunted, asar af l'mi shalohuva b'shvil achol b'yom, so that day is forbidden to everybody, b'filo avar menasan l'fiv v'laso asar l'valo, even if he's already chewed it, he can't continue swallowing it, b'filo taltlan asar, and even to move it is asar, Ula Erev, but after Yom Tov Muchdarin B'chdei She'asu, it is permitted, but only after K'dei She'asu, which is, again, as we saw in our Gemara. Uvishnei Yomim Tovim Shel Galio, when it's 2 days of Yom Tov, so Im Huva B'Yom Rishon Mutter Miyad B'Leil Yom Tov Sheni B'chdei She'asu, Shulchan Aruch rules like Rashi, right, that you only have to wait till
Rashi
after. Right, Rashi... Well, this is the Eino Yehudi, so now we're not in Meir Machlokas anymore, but Rashi and Arsig, yeah? That you only have to wait until the first night. The Ramah, Paskins, like Tosfos, V'yesh Machner L'Asro Ad Motzai Yom Tov Sheni. Why does he say Rashi? I don't know why he says Rashi. Okay. The Noag and Lahachmir Eino Tzarech Yom Tov L'Tzarech Orchem U'Bechia Gafna. The Minag is to be Machmir, unless you really need it for guests or something like that. Exactly. Then we're makel only for others. But if we're talking about Rosh Hashanah, Yom Tov going into Shabbos, Bein Lefna Bein Acharav, right, 2 day Yom Tov, and Huva Rishon Tzarech Lahamtin Motzei Yom Tov V'Shabbos B'Kdei Sheyasu, it went 3 days, so you wait 3 days. V'Shir K'dei Sheyasu Hayin K'dei Sheyelech Ha'ein Yehudi L'Makom Shalikate V'Yigmar Amalacha V'Yachstor L'Kan. And then he seems to take the more machmir position, that what is K'dei Sheyasu, the amount of time it actually takes you to get there, do the malach and come back. The mistapik lo meichan avian, but if you don't know where he went, shiurun kadesh yavu michos latchum, so then you just assume it is the amount of time it takes to get outside the tchum, which is again the most machmir construal of kadesh yasu, is the amount of time it actually takes you to do the malacha.
What do you mean by machmir? And I understand what machmir is, but beforehand we had the concept that's possible that they're both just arguing what the gzera is. So when he's saying machmir, is he saying the gzera is just day one of Yom Tov, but we could machmir and do day two? Or he's not holding by the gzera?
No, I think he's saying yesh machmirin, that we should take the, we should paskin like the more machmir position, which thinks the ikra din, right, 2 days is you have to wait the whole 2 days.
He goes against most of the Rishonim.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you count up the numbers. I mean, this is the Shulchan Aruch. This is the Ramah, actually. I mean, I don't know if you count up the numbers.
The Shulchan Aruch.
Well, the Ramah always goes from Shulchan Aruch, but he goes like Tosfos. So that's not a surprise. He always goes like Tosfos.
He's more machmir than
Tosfos. I mean, not always. He often goes like Tosfos.
He's more machmir than Tosfos.
Yeah. Not more machmir than Tosfos.
Well, the Mishnah Berurah.
There's the Shulchan. There's Ramah. There's Ramah.
Oh, look, but the Mishnah Berurah.
I haven't read the Mishnah Berurah yet. This is the Ramah.
Okay.
But no, he rules like Tosfos, and then he takes the more machmir construal of Tosfos.
Right.
But Tosfos, I mean, that's not totally surprising. That is, I mean, to take the more machmir construal of an Ashkenazi Rishon is sort of par for the course for the Ramah.
More machmir of the Ashkenazi Rishon.
Yeah, I mean that's not really. Yeah, I mean that happens a lot. I mean the Ashkenazi Rishon are in general more machmir, but here it's Rashi versus Tosfo, so it's, you know, there's Ashkenazi on both sides, but Tosfo, you know. Okay, the Rabbi Kiva Eger, though, pushes, just weighs in on this, and he says, "Kidei sheyelach akol mamakom." He says, "Dolfini is daiti miyesh shiur halichaso tlishaso v'chazaraso mahalich shnei yamim deyesh chiluk bazeh." Said, "How there has to be some gvul, right? There has to be some limit to this." So he says, "If it's a 2 day walk." So he says, "De'ima nachri halachum komo bishabes v'talash v'chazar b'yom echad le'erev de'ein yom echad duhuchol ola l'shir." Neged Yom Shabbos. Vasurim ad Yom Sheni L'erev. Daaf the Chazerasel Nachrab Yom Echad Haye B'Yom Chol. Mikol Makom Ilo Halach B'Shabbos. Halach Mimkomo Achar Shabbos La'Yachozer Ad Yom Sheni L'erev. So he said, okay, what happens in a case where he walked on Shabbos, but that he came back on Sunday? I think what he's talking about is he's talking about a Sunday night Yom Tov, right? Where you benefited from the fact that he was walking on Shabbos and now it's Yom Tov, but there was a hole in the middle. I think that's the case he's talking about, right? That's what it seems to be saying, right? I think that's what that is. Vasurim ad yom sheni la'erev. Da'afta chazaraz nachum yom echad ad yom chol. Mimkom makom ilo lo halach b'shabbos v'yaholech mimkom achar shabbos lo yechozer ad yom sheni la'erev. Im kain im nen em mikodlam zanem lachos shabbos. Okay, or is he talking about a case? Okay, I'm not sure if he's talking about a case, actually. Mm-hmm. No, is he talking about a case where it's Yom Tov on Sunday night, or simply Chol? No, he's just saying Chol.
I don't know he's coming, wrong, but
he's coming Sunday night.
He's coming Sunday night, and he says you still have to wait another day.
But maybe he's saying something strange here, but he's not talking about... We're talking something.
No, yeah, you know, he's just talking about Chol, right? He's saying that even though he's...
The Chol doesn't correct, count, right, Chol. Start counting on Yom Tov. The B'chtei Sheyas,
right.
The time in Chol for B'chtei Sheyas, right. You start camping.
I think he's saying that if a goy goes out on Shabbos to do something for you,
right,
he comes back on Sunday. So if he came back on Sunday, so you say, so he did, it's Yom Chol. So
right, but he right, says still no, because
so
it's...
You have to take into account the
fact that he went on Shabbos.
And you have to... Add that to when he comes back.
Correct. I think that's what... I don't even think he's Yom Tov. He's just, right. He's not Yom Tov on Shabbos. He's just saying Shabbos and Chol.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? No, that's what he's saying. He's just saying Shabbos and Chol, right? If he comes... Even though it's Chol, you say, hey, I got it on Chol. Doesn't matter. Since he walked 24 hours on Shabbos, he comes to you 12 hours later, right? You
yeah,
still have
start
to...
When he comes, start exactly. When he comes back.
And then you have to... Right, you have to wait. When, yeah. Once he gets back, then you have to add the 24 hours of Shabbos. Right, yeah. Which is... That's like... That's a groysa chumra. Right? Now he's added. He says, "The Tosfos Shach by Gzeirah." He says, "Beyom Sheni." He says, "But it makes sense because if you say like Tosfos that the whole point is we don't want you to benefit ki hu zeh from something that was done for you on Shabbos, who cares that he came to you on Yom Chol?"
Well, I would care. I mean, it's a different
thing. I mean, I would have said, no. This is only. It's true that you want to dissuade people from violating on Yom Tov or Shabbos, but in this case, it's all on Chol. That's what I would have said. But he says no.
There's no hekir though. That you know.
No, right? Exactly. I mean, look. There's a logic to this. There's definitely a logic.
But it's a difficulty. Anytime you go to a store on Sunday.
You have to be. Well, I mean, right? Except unless he did for Rove Goyim, which we'll get to, but. But yeah, so this is Rabbi Akiva Eiger's really sort of extreme application of this.
In Israel, where let's say the stores are closed on Shabbos, right? The stores are closed on Shabbos. Can you go buy something in a non-religious person's...
So that comes back to the Jewish question above.
No, so because you're doing it, there's not Rav Goyim there, Jews
and Rav Goyim. Right, but the... Right, by Goyim we're Mekel, we don't require B'chdei Sheyas, or Shulchan Aruch is Mekel. Right, by Jews we're more Mekel. Right, so sort of.
If an Arab has a store, we'd say in
for Rov Yisrael, then you might have bigger problems.
If an Arab has a store, and you may not be able to buy from on Sunday because he may have done a Shabbos.
According to Rick Vega, right, if he does it for Rov Yisrael, yes, you might. That might come out. But then he flips it. He says, "But aval im behipuch menachre hiktem alichasu be'erev Shabbos alichasu be'Shabbos." But this comes out of Kula the other way, right? That if he comes, I mean, he cuts the other way, right? If he went on Friday and came back on Shabbos, so then, right? You get a Kula out of this. Right, because he did most of the work on Erev Shabbos, right? So you don't have to wait the whole time, right? Meaning, if it's a 12-hour walk, but he did 11 hours Erev Shabbos, and then he comes on Shabbos, so then you can't benefit on Shabbos, but Motzei Shabbos, you only have to wait 1 hour, right? It cuts both ways, right? He said the what you do is you make the cheshbon. How many hours did it take on Shabbos, right? That's basically his. that's how he does it.
And what if it was Benish Moshe's?
Oh God. Okay. Ben Ashmashas, I don't know what he would say on this already.
When you say Ben Ashmashas, will be count probably.
I mean probably because you're allowed in Amil and Achri's Mutter Ben Ashmashas. So well, presumably
not to mention the fact that you're waiting for after Ben Ashmashas at the time. So you're
correct, but also Ben Ashmashas is also Amil and Achri's Mutter. So then you have to really come to fancy Cheshmana, right? That's
how
those are the most fun shilas. Is the Amir oh my God, I've had such nightmares with that one.
Of a Jew. He has all the halachas of the Jew in these circumstances.
What?
He's amazing. He would give a goy all of the halachas.
No, he's more machmir.
He's more
machmir. No,
at least he has all of the halachas.
No, fine. Carried, but he's more.
He
but he's. But
did
he's
he
more.
Cross the river? Did he not cross the river? Yeah. I mean, was he? Was it?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Car.
Was it like,
okay. So let me just think.
I can tell you a real story. The Sabah Habib Alibor. I was in there. He the factory he rents the building relative of mine, who used to be a garage. We go in there, and he starts to explain to us how they don't rely on the railroad, they have an Elsar basin for shooting. So, you know, this is an arrow. An arrow, yeah. An arrow.
Hey.
He doesn't recognize Kedushin's
okay.
Swords.
Well, you know, he needs customers, so.
Okay. Okay, so let's see. The Mishnah Berurah. Okay, I'm going to skip most of the Mishnah Berurahs in 18 just because I've moved basically them onto this sheet. Just the last line, though, and this is very relevant, Halacha Maisa, is the Mishnah Berurah in Chaf, the end of 18, says that when we say Kadesh Shiyasu, we mean this practically. Right, I mean, he says Kadesh Yilech veMevi and Akol Maidei Rechiva Basus Ein Tzarich Lap Tenel Kadesh Rechiva L'Sham. Right, if the guy came by horse, then you have to wave horse. If it came by
Uber,
whatever. But realistically, right? I mean, nowadays, right? We don't have to say, oh, well, it would take you 6 days to walk, but you know, but you took a plane and it took you 45 minutes. Like, you know, fine.
Subjective, not subjective.
Yeah, and then Ber Halacha, right? He just notes Yesh Machmirin who does come Rishonim. Avi Kol Malkam Rova Post Kam Rishonim Kaim Bishit Samechaber Desasim Gedas Rashi. Right, he just goes through the.
Malkam Lahatir, but what he says, you know, a custom like this. Well, if you want to listen to me? You don't have to worry about it.
Let's see. Okay, we'll come back to this. Okay, well,
can I ask you a practical Israeli question?
Just 1 second. Let me just see if there's anything else here that I didn't move here. Let's see. The Chiamashugdim. Right, so just in the last bar halacha, he notes that not everyone agrees with this more machmir construal of Kadesh Shiyasu. There are poskim, right, the smak, for example, paskins, that it's just the amount of time to do the malacha itself. And he notes that we take the more machmir position, but he says efshar de einzach lachmir lacher mishir ze. But he says it's possible that at least for other people, I mean, not the person who was done for, but everybody else, we could take the more makel construal of Kadesh Yasu, meaning not the amount of time it takes to travel and get the apple and travel back, but simply the amount of time it takes to pick the apple, which is, you know, 10 seconds rather than a few hours. So that's what the Ber Halacha toys with over here. Again, a lot of this stuff has moved, so we'll just go to the next one. Yeah.
If you hold 2 days, you visit Israel and you hold 2 days, you stay in the hotel, I mean,
this is much more complicated, yeah?
The worker, the Jewish worker is not dull. For them, it's not thug. I mean,
different child. It's much more complicated. Yeah, yeah. And people, big machlokot about what you can, you know, what you can do in those circumstances. I'm going to leave that for it's a fun sugya, but it's another one. Okay. So basically, what I did, because I think everyone's going to go mad if I think I would definitely go mad if we didn't do this, is that, you know, this Kadesh Yasu, as you've seen, already has a lot of details, but now the Gemara only continues and adds all types of details to it, including Sveikot and Tchumen specifically. So what I did almost entirely was, I mean, you can see I was just different formatted. Basically, the only thing I did was I took the tour and the Beis Yosef, and I outlined it so that, you know, instead of going through all the Rishonim and sort of tackling every mini issue come up, we can decide how many of the issues we want to actually touch and get a basic feel for the different questions that come up so that we can move on from this sugya. Because it gets very, very, very detailed by the end of this, right? Because, you know, so that's what this sheet is. It's almost all Beis Yosef with plus one Gemara, which the Beis Yosef is based on. But otherwise, it's all Tur Beis Yosef. Okay, so if you look at the bottom of Chavdalam and Beis, we'll just go to the Halacha. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines. You have one? Here. You can see like the Calibri font, Calibri light, sort of is Beis Yosef. And the Narkisim font, the bolder font, is Tur and the Gemara. So you could just see what's broken up visually, what we're talking about here. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 5 lines up at the bottom of Chavdal Amud Beis. Amar Papa, Hilchisa, what's the halacha? Nachri Shevi, Daron Li Yisrael, Biyom Tov. if a non-Jew brings a present for a Jew on Yom Tov. Im yesh me'osu ha'min b'mechubar asur. So, if that item still exists, it's attached to the ground, right? Which therefore means it was probably or possibly cut on Yom Tov. It's usur. Now, if it's totally not on the ground anymore, then it's mutter because it must have been cut before Shabbos. Ula erev nami asur mekdeshi asu, and then it's not only usur on Yom Tov; it's usur motza Yom Tov kdeshi asu, as we've seen. Vim ein me'osu min me'mechubar, and if it's not, there's nothing left, right? All the apples have been picked, right? I don't know when we finish picking apples. September, let's say. That's probably not right, right? October, I don't know. It's January, there's no apples, right? On the trees, there's nothing. So then, the only potential issur would have been tchum, right? That you took it from the wrong place. So v'im me'osu amin b'mechubar, so toch ha'tchum mutter, so then within the tchum, it's permitted, but chutz la'tchum, asur. So then if it's from outside the tchum, it is asur. V'haba b'shvi Yisrael zeh, if it's bought for one Jew, mutter l'Yisrael acher. This prohibition only applies to this Jew. But for other Jews, it is permitted. There is, like in the city, you know, because there's a case where we're not sure whether it was caught on Shabbos or not. So if it's
everything of that mean is mechubar in the city?
So that's what we're going to do, right? That's what we're going to deal with, right? So basically, the question that this Gemara deals with is the even more complicated story than we just did, right? In a certain sense, right? I mean, before what we dealt with is, what happens if you know for sure that a non-Jew violated Malacha for you? This Gemara says, okay, what if you're not sure, and now we're trying to figure out, statistically, what are the chances that all we know is that the non-Jew brought you food on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. We don't know whether he cut it on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So how are we going to figure it out? We try to assess it by looking around and saying, well, are there fruit of that type still attached to the ground? What it sounds like is if there are, then we assume, right, meaning it's a suffix. So it's because it's a suffix, we're machmir, right? Anytime there's doubt, right? If there are still apples, right? If it's still apple picking season, and a guy brings you a fresh apple, so you have to assume that the apple that he picked was picked on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, and therefore you have to treat it as usur. If it's January, and you know he's not picking the apples anymore, so then it depends, right? Where do apples come from? Right, if they come from the storage things inside the city, you're fine. If it's from outside the city, it's not fine. That's what it sort of sounds like. But the Gemara Toch Kedei brings up this Tchumen issue, where the Gemara says that Tchum might be a little bit different, might be a little bit different because it's only usur for this Jew, but not for for others.
Halacha l'maisa, like today, right? He goes to Sobeys and he buys something because it's only Rabbanan, it's not a problem.
You mean if they brought it?
And they bought it on that day for this Jew.
Right. So I mean, this is why I put sort of the halacha l'maisa. So everything is halacha l'maisa, right?
So we'll
now, great. So again, all the questions that you have to ask is, okay, halacha l'maisa, so what do we do, right? Meaning, basically, every case we're talking about, a lot of them are sefekos, right? We don't know who they brought it from, right? They brought, right, in a city, you know, the Sobeys over here, we all know, right? Not only for Jews, but...
Majority,
that's why it's so profitable, right? Pesach, this is their best week of the year. Next week. What?
They're not doing so well.
Really?
Yeah, I heard. So there's a competition. Anyways.
No frills. Baruch Hashem, competition. Good thing for competition. Plus the new chicken hechsher. Whoa.
Uh-oh.
Oh my God. I was like...
Yeah. It's a new old chicken.
New old. New old. But what is this hechsher thing from Ray Ox, Ray Shofa?
It's just the...
Wait a second, I'm going to pause this.
These guys wouldn't pay...
I literally wanted to know what it was. I don't need to know politics. I want to know what is...
He's a good negotiator. He basically said, I'm not going to pay you X dollars. And they said, well, if you have to pay us X dollars, we're not going to give you a mashgiach.
Is this the same thing your chicken?
Yeah. So somebody else came to the rescue.
Well, it's Rai Ox, Rai Shochet, and Rai Lowy put a hechsher on it. Okay.
Give them out of the
dust. I don't know. That's why I was surprised. They don't normally have a hat, sure. But those are like, you know.
Yeah, I never heard of
that. That's like mainstream Toronto. I don't know. Okay. Anyways, all I know is someone sent it to me. I don't even know who sent it to me. Oh, I do know who sent it to me. It makes a lot of sense who sent it to me. Okay, not important who sent it to me. Okay, now I realize who sent it to me. Yeah.
Why were they complaining?
No, they were not complaining. They were very happy, I assume. And I'm like, why is sending me someone sending me this? I'm like, I'm not.
Well, chicken. Who cares? Who's
there? Did you send me to see where the Sobeys question?
$2 a pound.
Yeah, no, I haven't said. This week has been a bit busy.
Like, a good excuse.
This week has been bit busy. I have not.
Okay. You can put it back on, I guess.
What? Oh, no, it's been on. Oh. We have to delete things. I don't know. No, it's fine. I should have pressed it. Okay. Anyways. Okay, so yeah, so let's look at Rashi, right? So, wait, where are you?
Of the famous Rashi, Rav
Kolonimus. Right. So one possibility here is what we're talking about is the Sfeikot issue, right? The other issue, which is something we've also discussed a little bit earlier, right? Rashi here says, right, if you look at the top of the wide, the top of the wide lines, the bottom of the Chodalman base, the Yesh Meoso Amin Mechubar Asur and Mishom Mukta. Right, the reason if it's still attached to the ground, it's usher, is because of muktzav. I feel Reb Shimon Yesh muktzav begroger simukim, mechuber kegroger simukim. Demi dami midlo liktor meatzmal aktinu midaitev lo tachlok b'mechuber bein shelo bein shel nachri. Because if it's attached, right, so it creates a muktzav problem. And then at the top of chavheim and aleph, yeah, the top of chavheim and aleph. Right, we already read this Rashi at length, but Rashi is chutzut chumasurin. Lo shamati tamakubu bedavar. Dimishum muksa mayim boter lisrael acher. Vimishum shenasa bo iser b'shvilo imken lisrael acher nami yaser. He said, what's the reason for this? If the whole sugi here is about muksa, then it makes no sense. Because if it's muksa, then it's muksa for everybody. I mean, if it's because of the sugi we were talking about before of nasabo iser. So im kain lisrael achar nami aser should be aser for another Jew as well. The nachir should look as an erev Shabbos non im bishvil yisrael aser v'lo chilko beino lechaveru. So he says v'yish lomer digabe iser tchumin derabanan lo achmer kulei hai. So he said maybe by tchum we're more mekil simply because tchum is derabanan. Aye, it's not derabanan according to all Rishonim. That's discussed here, but Rashi assumes that look now. So, you're right. Rashi here doesn't bring up the issue of suffix at all. Rashi just assumes, no. The case here is, we know that it's vadai attached to the ground, and the reason it's usur is mishum mukta, right? Because since it was attached to the ground before Shabbos, it's usur. But the other, many of the Rishonim, this is what the Beis Yosef notes, bounce this sugya off a Gemara in Kuf and Shabbos, plus the sugyas that we saw earlier in the Amud about suffix. Because this Gemara makes it sound like if something is attached to the ground, so what? Just because there are still apples attached to the ground, that means every apple that the Jew, non-Jew brings to you is attached to the ground? The Gemara seems to be assuming kedavar pashut, that if there's even a possibility that the apple he brought you was attached to the ground when Shabbos started, then it's usur, and that seems to be what just the assumption of the Gemara.
I thought what she's saying is that if you have all your apples are attached, so then it's muksa to you because aksina midate, because you since they're all attached, you're not going to pick them on yonder.
Right. So this is what we'll see.
The brings to you, so you the fruit for every brings a problem. Since you already were muksa, made the apples muksa to you. Then no matter what the guy brings it to you, whether he brought it from a quarter, it's
right. So it could be that Rashi thinks that every apple is still. I don't know. It's weird.
It's
I mean, it's hard to see. Right. I mean, yeah. I mean, what is he saying? That because some are, so you're mocked to all of them. Right. You don't think about any of them.
Maybe if all of your apples are attached.
Maybe
he says the low top of mechur v'enchal
right. Maybe. Right. I mean, this is the problem. Is that it shouldn't be true, right? Meaning, if there are a million apples in the city and 500,000 have been picked and 500,000 haven't been picked, why would you assume?
Because if your apples have not been picked,
right?
So you already, since you didn't pick the apples before Shabbos, you've push apples out of your
right. But if you let's say
consciousness in terms of your
okay, but let's
you. So someone brings.
But let's say that you knew that the guy actually brought you an apple that had been picked before from his house in the tchum. Everyone would agree it's mutter.
But you made it. You made it muksa.
So yeah. You wouldn't assume that that's true, right? It sounds
well,
like
it's that's only... it sounds like you're assuming it's true that if you have a chashash that if it's
there's a chashash. Let's say you knew vaday that it was you know.
Okay. The next logical step I would take is that if you already have a halacha that if you were safek, so you have a chashash that it's that a guy brings it, he picked it on Shabbos. So in your mind, you've put out of your mind accepting any apples from a guy on Shabbos. So it's like, you know, it's a halo effect. It'll extend to any apple that a guy picks on, brings you on Shabbos.
No, but
maybe.
That's what the Gemara says outright. Basically, if there's any men that's still mechover in the entire town.
Yeah.
So that would be the rationale.
That's
so remember. The beginning of the sugya, if you remember, was right after the Mishnah was that the Gemara assumed that the machlokas, the Chachamim and Rav Gamliel, was the case of Safek Mukhan, right? Where we are machmir by Safek Mukhan, right? So we've already established that Safek is Asr,
right? That can't be
an
issue of Moksa.
I mean,
Mukhan is the opposite of Muktzah.
Yeah, no, Mukhan is.
I mean, if I had
no, that's apple, it is Muktzah. That's exactly what it is.
Apple, one apple that's on a tree.
Right.
Then clearly, you can't assume. I mean, you're assuming that that apple is the one.
So the Gemara already said all
your apples were on a tree, and none of your apples were picked.
No, so I don't think it's that.
Yeah,
meaning,
that's not what he's saying.
We're already within the position of the Chachamim that Safek Mukhan is considered Muktzah. Right, that we have to be machron. That was what we discussed a few weeks ago, which is why is it that if muktzah is derabanan, why is safek? And that was what we discussed, is muktzah different?
But that doesn't mention safek at all there. He says it's muktzah.
Correct,
it's
but... because right, I find it hard to believe. I mean, it could be that Rashi said... but it, that's...
Dante.
Yeah,
well,
I can't see it any other way.
But I can't imagine. I mean, but if you knew, you go to the guy's house, right, 5 minutes after Shabbos starts, right, and you see he just goes to his fridge... and he takes an apple out of the, out of the fruit thing, you know.
So my impression is that what he's saying that if you're,
I would think that's vade mutter.
If you can't access your fruit on Shabbos, then you make your fruit not true.
It can't be true. Well,
so you're saying if a person goes to a guy before Shabbos and sees fruit in the fridge. So on Shabbos,
should we muster?
Yeah, because you saw the fruit, so you're making it.
But even if you go five minutes after Shabbos, right?
Then the apples were muksa from your brain during.
But the
if Beinashmashos, you had no idea. So it becomes muksa.
No, but Rashi says it's because. Right, I mean, Rashi says it's because I don't know. I find it hard.
It changes the case a lot.
What?
In other words, he's explaining it that if the goy is bringing it, the odds are that he cut it. When it's not saying
right,
there's one apple left on the tree, it says that it's mechubar, it means it's in the middle of the harvest.
Yeah.
And so you're assuming that's what he did.
Yeah, I find it hard to believe that he means that if there are any apples on trees. So even if you knew that an apple, obviously if you went before Shabbos, fine. You're right, you were making it. But let's say you didn't go before Shabbos. You go 5 minutes after Shabbos, but you know that the guy did, I don't know, the guy was in your house, right, when Shabbos started. So you know he didn't pick it on Shabbos. And then you walk with him,
and gives you an apple.
For dessert. I don't know. You have dinner at your house and you walk to his house for dessert. Right? You're going to say the apple is us or why?
Okay, that's an interesting scenario. But then, go back to the Sugya of Hachana de Rabba, where there's such a thing as Okel that's Mukhan Me'elav. Because we say if the Okel existed before Yom Tov, then we assume a person thinks any Okel that is in the world, Bein Hashmashos, he hasn't
right.
That he might eat in it. So the opposite could hold true for a muktzah. If we have an iser of muktzah for a safek, so in his mind, anything that he doesn't know is mukhan, he'll
maybe.
Be muktzah.
Maybe. Like, it could like, be. I find it...
Like what Sam is saying.
It could be. I find that surprising. But
what if you have apples on the ground and one apple on the tree, and a goy brings you an apple?
On Shabbos?
Yeah.
We would.
No, so then it's, yeah, then it would be Usser.
No, but any case, well, anyway, without Lumdus, you assume an apple under a tree you find on Shabbos fell on Shabbos.
Before Shabbos, there were apples lying on the ground. There are apples lying on the ground, let's say, two apples on the tree.
All right, but then you don't need...
You assume it's Muxa?
Well, you know, if you walk to it on Shabbos, if you walk towards it on Shabbos...
I don't know, that's fine.
Rashi seems to be reading, engage me also...
I don't think it's Muxa. The way is Muxa.
You're saying, even if it's not no suffix, the very fact that there's anything on the tree...
I know, I think it's engage me also with Mechubra Asura. It means, from that meaning, he only has Mechubra. Is that the only way it would be?
Right, so that you could read it if there's only Mechubar, but the similar reason, Im Yesh Me Also Min, which sounds like...
Funny language, right?
Yeah. Right, right.
But if it's only Mechubar, then you could say that's why it's Muxed it. If some are Mechubar and some not, it's hard to understand why it's
right.
Muxed.
Well, I don't know.
But look at that's why the word itself says Im Yesh Me Also Hamin.
All right, the simple understanding is if there is any. Right, and that's why I assume this sugya was based on the suffix that we'd already established above, right? That anything which is suffix mukhan is. I mean, if the Gemara hadn't already established the suffix mukhan is aser, so then, you know, but the Gemara already did say that, right? We're already functioning in that.
If they do that, I mean, what's the basis of muksa? Because that can't be a muksa. That can't.
Why?
Because there are lots of apples on the ground.
Oh, you mean but if you think suffix mukhan is aser, so then. I mean, look, it could be, but I find that to be a radical read. It's, I guess, not. I can't disprove it from Rashi. It just, I just assume that Rashi was predicated on the earlier sugya, because we're all within that sugya. That's what I assumed. I can't disprove it. It seems like a bit of a radical position.
Well, let's see. Mechubar mukhor means for the goy. That the goy has some that are mechubar and some not.
And then it's a suffix.
So Rashi says at the end. The Nachmi is also Muxa, and you don't know whether you brought from the Mechubar or
right.
The Mechubar. That would go along with the suffix.
Right. I mean, that's what I assumed he meant. Okay. So the sugya really ends here, mostly, anyways. I mean, not totally, but here's where the Gemara sort of has finished its discussions of suffix and tchum and. You know, we've sort of brought the factors together. So, like I said, what I did basically here was this halacha is all discussed in Tavkuf Tesvav. So I just gave you basically Yosef Tour to just summarize sort of the halachic issues that come up. Mostly I'll say to Beis Yosef, though I did reorganize it a bit, just because, I mean, we could go on every prod, on Suffolk and Chum for forever, but at some point... You know, maybe it was just because I was exhausted this week while I was preparing this Bekara sheet, which is possible. That's also possible.
We'll give you a break next week.
What?
We'll give you a break for next
week. Oh, thank you. Bedika. Bedika next week, Yom Tov 2 weeks. Okay. So a few halachic issues that come up. Okay. First source I gave you here is the Gemara in Erevin talks about this, but the Beis Yosef summarizes the sugya. Does Gridei Sheyasu apply for if the guy brings you fragrant smelling things? Right? Why would you think not? Because what did you benefit from it? You could have smelled it, right? If you go to a spice garden, right? Some of the botanical gardens have this. I know the one in Yerushalayim has this, right? They have the spice garden, like the smell garden, where you can just. It's just meant, right, it's not the things look good, you go through and you're supposed to enjoy just the smell, even without touching it, right? It's just, they plant a lot of very fragrant things in areas, and then, like, you walk through it and you have a, right?
A gishmak.
Yeah.
Olfactory.
A olfactory gishmak, yeah, whatever. So you might think that there should be no iser, because they shiasu, if the non-Jew brings you, I don't know, hadasim, right? Because... What did I benefit? Nothing. I could have just gone, right, and smelled it b'mechubar. The apple, I couldn't eat b'mechubar. But the, you know, if I wanted to have the experience, I could have just walked in. But the Gemara in Ervin tells you it's not true. That you need to wait, b'chdei sheyasu. Right? Why? So he notes, in number one, Garcina beperek b'chol ma'arvin, hanu b'nei ganana, the gazu l'goyim asa b'yomatova l'urta shari l'ravina, l'ruche l'alter. So there were these gardeners that had cut, that Goyim had cut for them this you know, sweet smelling
herbs.
Yeah, there's the word. On Yom Tov, and at night he allowed, Ravina allowed them to smell it immediately. Also, Shailulu Rava Amar Labein B'Chdeshiyasu. Right, so Ravina actually said, "Yeah, you're allowed to smell it immediately." But Rava said, "No, you have to wait B'Chdeshiyasu because of Aran B'Peregain Sadin." So the Ran asks in our sugya, "V'im Tomar Ma'imetzchen LaHariach B'Chdeshiyasu Dam Mechuber Muter LaHariach Bo B'Shabbes V'Yomdim Garmin B'Sukkah Hadas Mechuber Muter LaHariach Bo." The Gemara in Sukkah tells you that it's permitted to smell the myrtle branches while they're attached to the tree. So why shouldn't you need B'chdei Sheyasu? Right? You could have benefited on Shabbos itself. Yesh Lomar. The Efsher Lehem Lishtamesh Mimenu B'makom Zeh Ali Dehagziza Asa L'Arechbo N'mikol Makom Harein N'Nachshav M'melechez Yomtav Yichka L'migzar Shema Yom L'Goy L'Gozo. So the Ron says very simply, it's true. If I went to the botanical garden, I could have gone to the spice garden and smelled all the nice smells. Elamai, I have no interest in walking to the closest botanical garden. The fact is, it's true. Theoretically, I could have gone there and smelled it on Shabbos and Yom Tov, so I didn't benefit. But realistically, why does this whole Isser of Kadesh Yasu exist? Because we're worried that if we allow you to benefit immediately after Shabbos or Yom Tov from malacha that was done for you on Shabbos or Yom Tov, you'll end up telling the guy. He said, you didn't want to go to the botanical gardens. The guy helped you. He cut the spice. He got the myrtle. He traveled an hour to your house. He brought it to you so you could use it for Bisamim for Avdallah. Right? Realistically, you're right. You could have gone and camped out. You could have taken, you know, a 5-hour, 6-hour walk on Shabbos and gone to botanical gardens and then, you know, made your Havdalah in the botanical gardens as soon as Shabbos ended and pulled the Hadassim off the tree and made your Havdalah. But you didn't. You didn't want to and you didn't do it. So he said, if B'Kadei Sheyasu is meant to disincentivize telling a guy to do something for you on Shabbos and Yom Tov, so it doesn't matter, and we've seen this already, this is following the sort of the trajectory of Tosfos. It doesn't matter that theoretically, it's not a formal question, it's a practical question. He says, look, at some level, the fact is, you're right, you could have, but you didn't. The reason you are capable of smelling these hadasim here, right now, is not because you're in botanical gardens, it's because the guy cut it for you, brought it to your house, and now you're smelling it. And therefore, practically, it's usur. So that's so point one, right? That the Beis Yosef Rashi, notes from the Ran.
Rashi seems to have more of a promo approach, right? So what did he say?
Right. So Rashi's a bit harder, right? You know, you could have said, "Oh, well, it's Ravina versus Rashi," you know, but that in Rafa, but that doesn't really work. Right. What you'll say for Rashi is like, I mean, that may be true. I mean, Rashi has a formal approach, but only in the sense that he thinks you need to wake this man on chol.
Right.
He'll just say, "Look, it's true that I have a formal approach in the sense that it's that you only have to wait the amount of time that's formally chol. But still, the isser is, anytime I benefited from malach of a goy, so I have to wait, right? I have to wait it out. It's true, he's makil and says I only have to wait it out in a time that's technically chol, even if not chol for me, right? Yom Tov Sheni. But I still have to wait enough time that I didn't benefit. The fact is that I did benefit. You're right, I didn't benefit because I could have smelled it. But I couldn't have smelled this hadas here, right now, if the guy hadn't traveled for me. And therefore, at some level, you need to take Matthias into account.
Wouldn't this be the same case as having the apples on the tree? In the sense that normally the hadasim are attached, and it would be mukhsa according to Rashi.
But the benefit, you can benefit.
But here we actually aren't machzeh, right? Because you can smell it on the tree, right? I mean, it's not quite the same, right? It's because you're allowed to smell it on the tree. So it's clearly not exinu
midaite. You can't eat the apple from the tree.
You can't eat the apple from the tree, correct. You're probably not chayv midaraisa, because it's considered klachar yad, right? You know? That's not exactly easy. I don't even know how you do that. But what? I mean, I guess even if you pulled it with your teeth, maybe that'd be klachar yad also, right? You know, talish klachar yad. So, But smelling, you can smell pretty easily, right? It's not so hard.
But that's also assuming that
the botanical gardens here have it? I don't think I've only seen it in Israel.
In wildflowers, they have
it. In New York, they do have it? Yeah. They have it like random places. Like they have it in...
Emperor's Garden?
What? Do they have it in Emperor's Gardens? I don't know. Anyways... No, not important.
Smells that don't only work well with the
right. That's a different process. Right. That's a different right. That's the mole and that's different.
It's a different example, you know.
Right. I mean, the Gemara seems like
this is a
right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So that's one point. The Torah then brings up. Complicates our whole sugya, right? I mean, brings a more complicated version. He says, okay, what happens if imchal yom tov biyom hay v'shishi v'huvu biyom harishon, right? So the Torah asks the question, what happens if you get something on the third day of a quote-unquote three-day yontif, okay? Fourth day. You bring it on Isru Chag, Motzei Shabbos, of a three-day yontif, right? Yom Rishon of the 3-day Yom Tov. Sorry, it's a 3 Imchal Yom Tov Biyom Hey V'Shishi. Yeah, it's sorry. It's 3-day Yom Tov. First day of 3-day Yom Tov. Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. It's brought on Thursday. There we go. Kasev Bala Itur Shasurin Ad Motzoi Shabbos. So the Itur says 3 days, right? V'chein Kasev Bahag V'Harimi Paris. I'm sorry. V'chein Kasev Bahag. Period. Varimi Paris hitiru bilal Shabbos b'kadeshiyasu v'lazeh hiskim Adoni Avi Harash Sal. The Rush and the Rimi Paris say it's mutar on Shabbos. So now, who is this like? The answer is, at first glance, nobody. Right? Meaning, right? Because according to Rashi, it should be mutar on second day Yontif, so on Thursday night. Right? Thursday night. So Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Shabbos, 3-day Yontif. So according to Rashi, things become mutter the beginning of the second day of Yontif. According to Tosos, the Itzer's right. It's mutter only when you practically could have done it, so wait until Sunday, until Motzei Shabbos. Why would anybody say it's mutter
on Shabbos,
which is the end of the second day, after 2 days of Yontif, but still consecutive Yom Kedusha, right? So why would you say that? So the Beis Yosef explains that there is no svara to it. And that's what he says. He says, Aleph, and this is right, Beis Yosef, like I said, the Calibri is the Beis Yosef. V'afal pisha rosh lo kosav ela v'harim peris atiru b'shabes she'en l'hachmer kule hai. The answer is
enough.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. You're right. Logically, it makes no sense, right? Either it's mutter after the first day, or it's mutter after 3 days. The answer is right. Why is the Rimi Paris and the Rush Meikil? It's Mugzam already. Like, okay, you're right. It should be, but it isn't. Derabanan, shine.
Because he thinks the whole thing is artificial.
But it's Derabanan. It's not artificial. Derabanan. He's just saying, okay, so. But he thinks, even though this is not clarified, that he still wants Kadesh Yasu, right? Which is yet even a weirder compromise. He said, it's lo achmer kule hai, because we only make you wait till the end of second day Yontif, which is Shabbos, but we still make you wait for Kadesh Yasu. On Shabbos. Why, as the Beis Yosef said, because it's some sort of compromise. It's some sort of not like a. It's not conceptually neat at all, right? This is like one of those very messy positions where like briskers hate it, right? Because Beis Yosef tells you there is no logic to what I just said, right? The two logical positions are wait all 3 days, or it's mutter after the first day. There is no position in the world that logically says, wait B'kadesh Yasu on Shabbos, which is the middle of 3 days. The only way you can say that is he said. The rabbis just arbitrarily said, okay, look, enough is enough. You're right, it should be another day, but we're not going to do it, so fine.
According to Tosu, why do we have to wait until the second day on
Tosu? So normally, Tosu says, because you have to wait till practically you could do it yourself. So the Iktar would say, well, if that's the case, wait till Motzei Shabbos.
Practically, you'll do it yourself, or so that you won't ask a goy.
So I assume that's what it is, right? I assume that's what he's thinking. He's like, well, look, it's not, you know, how often does this happen, right? Like, and I already have to wait 48 hours, so I'm going to, right, what are the chances that I'm going to ask someone to do it so that I can benefit from it on the third day of a three-day yontif, right?
And also, maybe you could say the Gzeira was just for what the Gzeira was. In other words, Tosfos made the Gzeira only until the second day of Yom Kippur. So it's like, why? Because you might ask the Goy,
right,
you
know,
one of the first 2 days.
Correct.
So now Shabbos comes and complicates the issue. But still, that's the Gzeira. The Gzeira is, you wait till the second night because you might ask the Goy to do it in Yom Kippur. If you do it on Shabbos, it has nothing to do, you know, then you might have to do it on Shabbos, but that's a different situation.
Right, I mean, maybe that's what it, right? I mean, you could say it's that way, right? Meaning it's...
That's what you're saying.
About right, it's a form. I mean, it's a formality. It's saying, look, technically, we set up the Gzeira till after Yom Tov. It is after Yom Tov. I understand, it's also Shabbos, but whatever. You're right. Conceptually, I could have argued that it should be after Shabbos, but, you know, Ad Kan, right? We don't add more. I mean, that's what he's saying, right? He's saying, you could have made an argument for it, but we treat it, we forget, basically, what he's saying is we forget about the fact that it's Shabbos. That's what he's saying. It doesn't make sense to forget about the fact that it's Shabbos. And Ochanami, but whatever. Like, how much do you want to wait? What do you want? You want the guy to wait 72 hours? Okay, 48 hours is must speak, right? We've punished him. It's good.
Except aren't they ignoring the principle that generally Shabbos is treated in a more machmir manner?
Well, that's what they're saying, is they're ignoring it, right? They're saying...
But I don't understand...
Well, that's what the Baal Eter says. Right, the Baal Eter says exactly that. The Baal Eter says, look, if the logic is wait until you're able to do it, so you can't do it on Yom Tov, you definitely can't do it on Shabbos, so you wait till Motzei Shabbos.
Right.
The Baal Tosfos, right, let me say, the Rosh and the Rimi Peri say, look, I mean, yes, but whatever the Gzeira was, you wait till after Yom Tov. It's true that after Yom Tov is Shabbos, which should be more Machmir, but it's Derabanan, so we play with it. We just say, look, must be. I mean, that's exactly what he's saying. He's saying, I mean, you're right. It should be that way. The Iter has a more logical position, but it is what it is. And that's what it is. You know, he's saying, you're right. I mean, you're right, Shabbos is more Machmir, but the concern is that you would tell somebody the first day Yom Tov, so we just say, wait till after Yom Tov. Shabbos is after Yom Tov. Okay. So then he says, fine, the truth is that this is summarized at the end of this long, long Tosfos, but I figured in the Beis Yosef it's just shorter and gets it out there. Right. So, I mean, this re Mipari is just quoted in our Tosfos. The reason is, again, it's not totally arbitrary. He just says that, look, the concern is that you're going to tell a guy, do malacha for me, so we punish you when we say wait till you could do it yourself. How often does it happen? We have a three-day yontif, and you say, I really need that apple. So you tell the non-Jew, get me an apple, right? Mm-hmm. How often does it happen that I have to tell you, right, that if the... Sorry, let me reframe that. You didn't tell the guy. It's not a case where you actually told the guy. It's if the guy brings you an apple, we're worried that you're going to come to ask him for it. He said, how often does it happen that it's a three-day yontif and the guy brings you an apple unprompted, right? And then you want to know whether you can have an after-dinner snack on the third day of yontif, which is Shabbos. He's just like, look, we're not realistically concerned that it happens so often that the fact that I let you have the apple on Shabbos is going to make it that the next yontif, you're going to ask the guy to pick it. He said, you're right. Conceptually, I could have heard it. But he said, you know, Ad Kan. Like, we're not so worried. You know, you could have framed this more formally, which is, Milsad lo shchicha lo gazur bei rabbanan, right? Which is, that case is so rare that Chazal don't make takanos for very rare cases, right? That would be a more formal way of framing it. But then after saying it doesn't make sense, he said, v'yesh l'hachmir b'davar. But really, you should be machmir and wait the whole 3 days. Ad Kan. V'yavo pisha, kazur yesh l'hachmir b'davar kazuvar rosh to bistavar kedas ari. And even though Tosfos Shelanu said you should be machmir, the Rosh himself said, whatever, you can be mekel. And then the Beis Yosef adds, and this is in Beis here, he says, Kosev Trumas Hadeshen, Til Divrei Smak, Dekaamar, Dedavar, Sheyesh Bo Chshash Mechubar, Otsida, Shuva Biyomta Rishon, Asr, Biyomta Sheni, Afil Yisrael, Acher. According to the Smak, who says that something where there's even a concern. No, you know what? No, I'm going to stop there. I'm going to stop there. Okay, we'll come to it. As you see, right, these issues of Safek and Goy and Chum and Bishvilo, they just get mixed in, which is why we're just going to sort of take it all Seder. Okay, it'll take us one shir, really, just to go through it. If we don't cover everything and we decide we're sick of it, we can do that too. But